I don't think I need to share with you guys that this is definitely a very interesting season. Amen. We have gone through some major ups and downs as a family. Because I talk to many of you guys very regularly, I've had the joys of hearing like wonderful victories, lots of healings, God's provision, babies are being born, people are asking people to be married. It's just like a really good season. We had people just recently get married. We are in a really good season with a lot of stuff. And then we've had a lot of other stuff that's also been happening as well. Many flirts with death with some of us, you know, again, miraculous healings to follow and all kinds of things like that. And so we've gone through some ups and downs, you know, everything from COVID outbreaks and sicknesses and major needs of provision. And then not only that, again, because I talked to many of you guys, there are other members of our church family that aren't here regularly with us because many of them are still healing. But you guys have also gone out to serve many of those individuals as well. We have done a lot of meal prep. We have given financial resources to support others. There's just been a lot happening that's been really good. And in the midst of all these ups and downs, and I was seeking the Lord in prayer, the Lord brought to my attention that now is the time for fasting. And so I am going to just launch off from the very beginning and say I'm calling our house to a 21-day fast. Now, what does that mean? Oh, no, 21 days? 21 days, no food? No. No. I'm calling for a season of fasting for us. So that means for the next 21 days, we are in a season of fasting. And what that will also mean is I'm not mandating anything. I'm calling the fast. It is between you and the Lord to find out your parameters. What are you going to do? Okay? What are you going to do in light of this fast? I'm saying this is a time of fasting. Why? Because the Lord is doing a whole lot. And while he's doing much, we want to make sure that we are partnering with his heart with all that he is revealing to us during this time. Okay? Around about now, I think it's been about 5 months ago, I started seeking the Lord for something very, very specific concerning our church family. There's been two things I've been praying for. One was for us to get a home, because for those of you guys who don't know, we rent here, and we have had services on Saturday nights because the church we rent from has services on Sunday. For those of you guys who may not know that, it's not because we're Seventh-day Adventists, though I'm pretty sure you guys knew that. But at the same time, this is what was available to us, and honestly, in my opinion, I think it's working for us. I don't have any need or any desire to change, but I've been praying for a home and asking the Lord to give me vision for what that might look like. Though I have gotten many confirming words, though, that home or new home is not right now. The Lord is asking us to really blossom where we're planting, and I've gotten tons of stuff to confirm that and for us to max out all of our resources where we're planted. Okay, so in light of that prayer, that has been my answer, and I'm good with it. So max out the resources, meaning you go out there, you invite your friends, fill this place up, make it almost impossible for us to do church here. And then we'll go back and say, okay, Lord, about that home. But until then, we're good. The other prayer that I've been praying very earnestly for our house is spiritual maturation. And my children know this because when we do communion together, because we fast together as a family, and we break fast, and when we break fast, we have a prayer journal that we write in, and we write down the prayers that we are seeking the Lord to answer during the course of that week or for the season. And as we're praying, my kids even started saying spiritual maturation, because Daddy has been saying it all the time for the church and for my personal family. And it was funny. When a lot of issues really started hitting the fan, like there was just a lot of stuff going on, many, many pastoral calls, many conversations amongst the pastors and elders about how do we support in this season and what's going on with this person, what's going on with this person, and normally it was more negative things that we're pressing the Lord about. The Lord said, Ronald, I'm answering your prayer. And I was like, how are you answering my prayer with all of these issues? You know? And the Lord is like, if we do not deal with the issues of our heart in this season, we will not be able to walk in the fullness of the blessing the next season. So it was actually the kindness of the Lord that for some of us, all hell was breaking loose. Because what he was doing is exposing the cracks in foundations, either in your walk with Jesus, in your foundation of your understanding. And the Lord is like, hey, I'm in the midst of all of this. And I'm going to work this for my purposes. Are you still going to believe my goodness in the midst of the trials that you're enduring? Does that make sense? And some of us actually was questioning. Some of us have actually even questioned not only the Lord, but the question of the word, and even put me in a position to be like, hey, y'all, if we're not careful, your very salvation could be called into question because of the fact that the Lord and his word is not supreme authority in your life. Now, it does not mean that we obey the Lord perfectly, because we've talked about this before. To cherish the word or to keep the commandments of the Lord is to highly value, to love them. And from the place of loving what God says, you are now strengthened and empowered to do what he says. But you guys know very confidently that if you do not love what he says, if you don't embrace what he says, even when what he says hurts you, you're not going to do it. Does that make sense? I'm going to pray one more time and ask the Lord to help me to share this well. And I'm going to leave Mark. So Jesus, thank you again for what you're calling us into. And Father, I ask again that you would speak through me as I share. And Lord, I pray that you would aid us in taking another step to increase our devotion to you. Amen. Thank you, Mark. So, before I deliver this or share this message, I'm going to give you a quick context. This will be very brief. But also, there are a bunch of many random thoughts that I'm going to give you. So it's not going to be like I'm looking at one passage and we're building on one passage. We're just going to look at a bunch of thoughts that I believe the Lord wanted me to highlight in light of fasting. Because for the most part, I think we all basically know what fasting is, right? Fasting is going without food, right? It's the weakening of our flesh for the strengthening of our spirit. That's the quite simple definition, the weakening of the flesh to strengthen your spirit, okay? Because we also know in the scriptures it reminds us that our flesh and our spirit are what? At war with each other, right? Now, I'm not sure if you guys did any fighting or was matched up at all, whether it boxing or wrestling or any kind of match. Obviously, when you're playing a sport and you're matched up with somebody, typically the stronger wins, right? And so if you find yourself in many a battles, right, and you find yourself losing to your flesh very often, okay, and you find yourself falling on your face like, Lord, I keep missing this, I keep missing this, I keep missing it, and it's like a besetting sin that's actually talked about in Hebrews. If you're stumbling through besetting sins, chances are this is an opportunity for you to say, Lord, I really need to strengthen my spirit, man, so that when my spirit gives me that check on the inside, I can obey Holy Spirit and not keep yielding to the power of my flesh. Amen? Now, some of us, that's going to be one of the bigger focuses of our fast. I'm actually going to encourage us, for the most part, to fast for intimacy and revelation of Jesus. Okay? So I'm not going to be fasting for, though there's, mind you, there's many different reasons to fast according to scriptures. Many. You know, we can fast to sway off oncoming calamity. We can fast for revelation. We can fast for power and signs and wonders and ministry. And all these things are backed in scripture. For us, I'm asking us to fast specifically for intimate encounters with Jesus. Okay? For our hearts to burn for the knowledge of the Lord. For our hearts to burn, for his will to be done and his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, for our hearts to burn with what his heart burns for, like for the lost, so that when we see those who are lost around us or the depravity of our own circumstances, we fall face down pleading for the Lord or pleading with the Lord for mercy. Does that make sense? We're all in a good place. So again, there are other types of fasts that we also do. Like there's been lifestyle fasts. Reason why I'm talking about a lifestyle fast is because, again, I'm not going to tell you what you're going to do in this fasting season. Okay? I'm not going to tell you what to do, though I'm going to give you some context about fasting while young, fasting while old, fasting in various situations and circumstances. Okay? So, just as a quick note on lifestyle fast, I am not necessarily like super gung-ho about lifestyle fast because of what they have turned into with a lot of our churches. Okay? What do I mean? There have been times when people say, we're going to do a lifestyle fast and we're going to fast gossip. I'm like, no, we are not going to fast gossip. We are going to stop gossiping, period, because we don't fast things that we're not supposed to be doing, period. That's a lifestyle fast. Does that make sense? And that's not a good lifestyle fast, but that's some of the stuff that people have called a lifestyle fast. Now, because all our children in the room, I'm going to be G, just so you know. Because if we really want to talk about a lifestyle fast, in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5, when it says, if y'all don't know what that says, y'all should just take a quick glance in the Bible. Okay? Where a husband and wife may choose not to come together. G, we're keeping it G. For a time of prayer and fasting. Oh, yeah, that lifestyle fast right there. You've changed how you do life for the sake of intimate encounters with Jesus. Does that make sense? Now, again, there are other things that people may call a lifestyle fast as well. Like they say, okay, you know what? My life makes these kinds of demands on me. Like I have to sit in front of a computer screen all the time. All right? And or sometimes you may say, you know what? To help my children focus, we're going to do less television during the time of this fast. Awesome. Those are lifestyle fasts. I would also encourage. Some of us live with our phones in our hands all the time. Sometimes we may just need to put it down. Does that make sense? Lifestyle fast. Okay? Even some of us, especially this is like the new drug, in my opinion, would be gaming. You know? And some of us game all the time. And honestly, I really do think that it is a big distraction. It's one of the things that has become incredibly acceptable in this day and age, though it has been very, very destructive for many of us. And some of us need to put it down. Okay? Now, that again, in part and parcel of lifestyle fast. Now, am I saying that gaming is wrong? Not at all. But if you're finding that you can't do anything else that you need to do, like you can't pay your bills on time, you can't keep your house clean, you don't even do very well with your own upkeep of your own person, because I've gotten some people that have gotten that far where they sit up and they gaming and their shower schedule is off. I'm like, yo, bruh, you need to put that controller down. Pick up some zest. Okay? I wish I was joking. Okay? So do you understand what I'm saying about lifestyle fast? There's stuff that only you can know, and this is the reason why I am choosing deliberately not to say, we are going to do this specific fast. Like, we're not going to do a Daniel fast the entire time. I'm going to tell everybody to do a Daniel fast, because honestly, for some of us, in our dietary choices, it doesn't mean anything. Right? I need you to personally pick what is fit for you. Now, one of the things, even when we talk about a Daniel fast, because, you know, when I was younger, I thought that the only real fasting that was legit or worth talking about was like just water. And if you wasn't just drinking water, your fast don't count. That was dumb. It was prideful and foolish, okay? Like, even when we talk about the Daniel fast, most people continue, because, you know, we've watched the cartoons, and we've done Sunday school, and we have little pictures and cartoons of, you know, Daniel in the lion's den. And we forget the fact that Daniel was old when he was thrown in that lion's den. Daniel was old. And one of the other times when he fasted a second time around, I'm talking about, like, this is in Daniel 9-ish, 10-ish, when he had those great revelations and grand revelations from the Lord. In that area, Daniel was over 80 years old. And when he fasted, doing a Daniel fast, when it says he did not eat any pleasurable foods, and for some people who thought that Daniel always did a Daniel fast his entire life, because the fast is named after him. No, if he says that he did not eat pleasurable foods during that time, that meant that at other times he ate pleasurable foods. Does that make sense? And so when he said, I'm going to call this fast, when that happened, the revelations that he got doing a Daniel fast, as an old man, still brought him prostrate on the ground or flat on the back as though dead while receiving those revelations. Does it make sense? So what I'm trying to say is do not despise whatever you're able to give during the time of fasting as if what you're doing is less than because it's not like an absolute water. Okay? Does that make sense? Though I will say again, your fasting for the, in my personal experience, after living a lifestyle of fasting for a good minute, I have learned that the best ones are actually tied to food. Now again, if you have some dietary restrictions because of medications or other things that you are doing or that you're on, my suggestion then is to alter your food. Whenever we eat, it does not have to be pleasurable. Does that make sense? And you've already heard me crack the joke, you know, because I've said over and over again that Israel's stumbling block wasn't the quail, it was chicken. If I was an Israelite, it definitely would have been chicken. And you can eat a bland piece of chicken, and it's not pleasurable. Can somebody say amen in here? I feel like I need a black church, because they'd be like, yes, pastor, bland chicken. Oh, Lord, amen. You know? You're like, pass the season of salt, please. But the fact of the matter is, you can get nourishment without seasoning. And you can feel the weight and not compromise your health. Does that make sense? Once again, this is the reason why I am not telling you what to do in this fast. Because the other side, for those of you guys who spent some time with me, you guys know that I have said this many a times in private. Ronald Sykes is not interested in leading followers. I'm not. I want to be a leader among leaders. I want to lead a bunch of leaders. I want to be a leader among leaders, which means I'm expecting you to lead. I am expecting you to lead. And there's been many times people have come and they said, hey, this church does not feel very traditional, because we're not trying to be traditional. We're not trying to be traditional. We are trying to honor the gifts that are in this house, every single one, the ones that are prominent and strong and the ones that are developing. Right? And so I don't always lead with my best leg forward. On purpose. Because sometimes the leg that I need to lead with is a leg that I need to strengthen. Does that make sense? And so I'm not always about trying to put the big guns up front. I don't have to do that because it's not my responsibility to grow the church. Whose responsibility is it? Thank you. Jesus said, I will build my church. Amen? So if I'm telling you that I am not expecting to lead a bunch of followers, I need you guys to like take charge and lead. I need you to lead in your own home. Be the priest in your own home. Man, especially, I got to call you out. Please be the priest of your home. If prayer is not happening in your home, do something about it. Does it make sense? And so therefore, if we are going to lead leaders, it means that I'm not going to micromanage your life. And for some of you, though it might confuse some of you, but some of you guys, this is going to sting just a little bit, but it's good. Some of you have expected me just to tell you what to do. And I'm telling you again, I ain't telling you what to do. All right? Because some of us are conditioned. We are so conditioned, let me just do whatever the pastor says. And then you just do whatever the pastor says to the negation of Holy Spirit who's been telling you what to do all along. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. You don't have to wait for me to tell you something is right or wrong before you go out and do it. Does this make sense? And some of us just went, well, I ain't going to do anything extra unless the pastor. Well, I'm giving you an opportunity now. You're going to have to talk to the Lord and ask the Lord what you're supposed to do. You're going to have to ask the Lord, what am I supposed to do? How am I to focus this? How do I even pray for more intimacy? Lord, what does that look like? How do I know when I've attained it? You're going to have some conversation with the Lord. And while you're in prayer, you're going to have to wait and hear him. Because some of us, during our prayer time, talk too much. Prayer time, yes, is talking to God, but come on now. Yeah, I hate to throw my family out there, but y'all know how it is. I used to teach middle school, and I have teenage daughters. And sometimes the conversations just feel one way for a long time. Now, some of y'all laugh. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Sometimes I'm just sitting there. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. And you know what? For some of us who actually get into prayer, we're acting like a teenage girl. And the Lord is like, I'd like to tell you something. And then you get up, amen, and walk out the door. And you ain't heard the Lord say nothing. And then we come to church. Lord, why aren't you talking to me? Because you ain't listening. Church, can we listen? Can we listen? Because the Lord is speaking. He is speaking. But our bigger issue is that we don't be still long enough to listen to what he's saying. And even when he asks us to do things, we don't have the appropriate dialogue afterwards. Because more often than not, the Lord asks me to do some stuff, and the fact of the matter is, he will tell me to do something, and I don't know how to do it more often than not. I don't know how to do it. There's been a number of times, even here at the church, and my leadership team has experienced it, and I've had to go up to them and said, I have no grid for this. They knew what the Lord told me, I knew what the Lord told me, and I'd be like, Miss Lisa, Al, I have no grid for this. I would just be honest. And I have to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, how do I do this? And it's okay. It's okay. Even to be a leader and recognize, Lord, you're asking me to do something I don't know. It happened all through scriptures. It's okay. All right? So there we go. Lifestyle fast. So again, when we're fasting, just flirting with various different areas or types of fasting between the young versus the old, because I have various, like I said, various points we're going to hit. Fasting old, reminding again, if we're older and we have dietary restrictions, there's things we just got to consider and say, Lord, I need your wisdom. Do not forsake the small that you give, thinking that it's insignificant, but all is significant. All right? Fasting while young. Now, I am going to encourage you, if you are a parent and you have children, not to just mandate the hardest thing for your children to do. Just like I am giving you an invitation to this fast, and I'm saying, hey, what are you going to do? And you have a conversation with the Lord. I'm going to invite all of you to have a conversation with your children as well. And ask them, because sometimes to be the priest of your home means you, and you'll be astonished more often than not, to say, okay, to my children, or to those who are living in my house, hey, what has the Lord been saying to you? And you know what's funny is that as I've asked my children certain things, they have floored my wife and I a number of times with the revelation that the Lord is giving them. And if they choose something, you as the parent or caregiver can give the appropriate modifications to what they choose. Does that make sense? And you can encourage them. So if your child comes and says, you know what, Mommy, I want to be more in tune with Jesus, and I'm going to put down whatever for the week. You say, hey, are you sure you want to do that? I think that would be awesome. But I want to make sure you understand what you're trying to do, and Mommy and Daddy are going to support you with whatever you choose to do. So you keep the environment safe, loving, encouraging the entire time. Because many of us fast inappropriately. Okay? Now, what do I mean by fast inappropriately? Now, I do, if there's one thing I can say I know very confidently about Al Houck, is that my dear friend hates religious type spirits, kind of a deal. Like when we just do stuff just because. He calls everything out. If it even smells like, looks like a mile away, Al is like, his brow gets furrowed. And I can tell he just doesn't like it. And I'm learning to better discern that. And I love that he's that way, because if we look carefully at the scriptures, like with Paul and how they struggled with those same issues, Paul was also incredibly adamant against it. Very, very hot and hostile against things that people just did just because. Like when they said, everybody's got to be circumcised if you're going to be saved. And Paul was like, excuse me? Everybody's got to obey every letter of the law of Moses for you to be saved. You know, messianic, following Jesus. But we got to follow that and all this. And they put these heavy yokes on everybody's neck that you could not carry. So what do I mean by fasting religiously? Or fasting with this inappropriate spirit? Okay? Well, let me give you some examples. I have already shared with you guys that my family and I have been fasting and have lived a fasted lifestyle since my wife and I were teenagers. Okay? So even before we were married, my wife and I had already committed to a fasted lifestyle. All right, which was awesome. Now, it doesn't mean that I was fasting all the time. No, and it also moved and shifted throughout our lives. But we've always had it on our forefront of our minds because we knew that after fasting a certain way and seeing the yield of it, I was like, Lord, I cannot live apart from this blessing. So I will choose to chasten my flesh so that I can walk a little bit more so in the spirit. All right? So what does that mean? If I say I'm going to fast every Tuesday and Thursday, for example, and these are times that I'm going to fast and choose not to eat, right? And let's say a holiday falls on that day, I may say, you know what? This is a time of celebration. We will not fast. But you fast every Tuesday and Thursday. Well, to that statement, I would say, just like my Lord said, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. Fasting was not, I'm not made for fasting. Fasting was made for me. And that's the context you got to keep. When you fast, it's actually for your benefit. And if you find a time that, you know what, doing this at this time may not be beneficial because I may have to explain away too much to try to keep it private because it's going to be complicated, just choose not to do it on that day. Why? Because you are not made for the fast. The fasting that you've chosen to do is actually for your benefit. Does this make sense? Are you guys all right? So if it falls on one of my kids' birthday, because my kids know when we fast, and they say, oh, it's our birthday this day, so we're not fasting this day, right, Mommy? No, we're not fasting this day. We're not fasting this day, right, Daddy? Nope, we're not. And my kids will tell you. They know. Does that make sense? Now, does that mean that I feel like some kind of way, oh, no, I'm shunned or shamed because I chose not to fast this day? Nope. Because the funny thing is, as we live a lifestyle of fasting, come on, like, you guys can do the math. If I fast just one day a week, right, just one day a week, how many days of fasting is that throughout the course of the year? 52 days. That's equivalent to a 40-day fast, plus some. Now, the thing is, we want to give ourselves to the extravagant all the time. When the Lord has made it abundantly clear that this life that we are living is not a sprint, but a marathon. You will do a whole lot better in this life doing a little bit very regularly. Because again, we have read the Bible out loud to my children now. How many times at this point, Valerie, with Zoe being our oldest? We're on our eighth time reading the Bible out loud to our children. Eight times. Because if you do a little bit at a time, you realize that if you read just two chapters of the Bible a day, you get through the entire book in a year and a half. We know this because we've done it over and over and over again. Does this make sense? And some of us have not read the Bible cover to cover once. But just think about it. In a year and a half, you can get through the entire thing if you commit to just two chapters a day. Some of us, you say what? Yeah, one chapter, 3 years, done. Just one chapter a day. Does that make sense? And the thing is, I'm trying to get us, again, to make a lot of small yeses. Because for some of us that are doomed for destruction, we've made a bunch of small yeses, but to the wrong person. Our enemy has encouraged you to make a yes to your sin, and as you continue to make small yeses to your sin, it compounds and it actually starts forming your identity. And because you said yes to sin, now that's how you're identified. It's based upon your sin. But if you make a bunch of yeses to the Lord, sincere yeses to the Lord, now you have a new identity in the Lord. And again, sometimes we want to go all out in like a hard sprint, and that's not how the kingdom of God works. I've had people come by and they've admired some of the things that have happened in my family or even admired some of the testimonies that have come from our family. But they didn't realize how many small yeses made up the situation and circumstance that they're actually revealing or that's being revealed when they come into my home. And it's not just me. There's other people here in this congregation, in our church family, that when you walk into their house, the first thing that many people say is, I am experiencing the peace of God in this house like I have not experienced it in many other places. People say it. I've heard you say it about some of the other people's houses that you've been to. You said it when you come to mind. To the glory of the Lord, thank you, Jesus, for being so kind to me, that his peace rests in my home. Does it make sense? And we want that peace to rest in all of our homes. That every time an unbeliever comes into our house, and more often than not, it's normally our family, that comes up and they're in our house, and they ain't living for Jesus, and you know they ain't living for Jesus. Right? And they show up, you want them to feel the power and the presence of the Lord, because that's where you worship, in your home. And honestly, if we want to see more of the miraculous in this space, when we all come together, wherever that space may be, I promise you it's not going to happen because of what we do when we're in here together. It's actually what happens when we do it at home. When you're choosing not to fill yourself with whatever filth may be out there, whether it's the lies that's coming in through social media about how we feel about this, that, and the third, or the things that we entertain ourselves with, wasting time, dulling our minds. And so these are the reasons why I'm saying, hey, we gotta look at life and fine tune a few things so that we can actually sustain in these next coming seasons. Alright? So again, if you're fasting and your child is young, back to my young versus old, if it's someone who is young, consider their age, walk them through it, and help it be a pleasurable experience as they're fasting. Alright? I'm going to give you a quote, all right, because sometimes we get things a little wrong. This is something some of us might want to write down. Fasting is not the test, but it prepares and postures you to do well during the times of testing. Some of us, and you have to pardon me for saying it this way, has made our gods our stomach. Okay? Now, if after I've been talking all this time, you are still in the back of your mind saying, there's no way I can do this fast. Even after I gave you all these options of parameters, eat your food, just don't put the seasoning on there. Do whatever you desire to do, and don't fast during certain times when it's going to be hardest for you, but pick another time, because I promise it's always going to make it hard enough for you. And you're like, Pastor Ron, there's no way I can do this. I'm going to tell you, lovingly, with a smile on my face, but seriously, your God may be your stomach. Okay? Now, mind you, food is meant to be pleasurable for us. I get it. But the problem is, sometimes we live so much for our pleasure that we do not live in right balance in light of the pleasures that we endure. Does that make sense? And if we get to a point where we say, if I can't have my chicken a certain way, I'm saying that because I'm talking to myself. If you say these things, your God may be your stomach. And you may have to deal with that God. Does that make sense? So again, fasting is not the test, but it prepares you for the test. Remember in Matthew, I want to say Matthew 4. I'm deviating from my notes a little bit. Matthew 4, I think, is where Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted of the devil. Right? So Jesus fasted. And during his time of fasting, when that time of fasting was over, he was then tested. Does that make sense? Now, I have to call out another part about fasting in light of making sure we don't do it religiously, because I had this awesome conversation with Alex. She's probably watching online. Alex, much love to you. We miss you. She was talking about how she was fasting, and she was wrestling through some stuff, and her season of life in the moment was incredibly busy, as normally it is with many college students. They're just grinding on both ends, trying to manage the job, trying to manage the books, trying to manage life. And it's rough, especially when we all know that the biggest challenge for most of our college and career folk is actually time management. So they're working hard, and they're still trying to figure life out. And I remember that she was actually shocked when I approached her and said, okay, pretty girl, you don't need to be fasting right now. Just stop. And the thing is, sometimes we are so committed to doing it, but we're doing it wrong and not getting any benefit from it. Why? Because if you're fasting and you cannot stop, to read your Bible, if you cannot stop to pray, that's not a fast. That's you starving yourself. And if you want to call it a fast, call it a health fast. But don't call it a biblical fast, because it's not. The purpose of fasting is to strengthen your spirit during that time. And if you're not abiding in the presence of the Lord, it's not a fast. So stop. Because what you're doing is you're ingraining something in your mind that's wrong about fasting. That's hard, that's arduous, that's always, and there's no benefit or pleasure. And I'm telling you, from a person who's been doing fasting for many years now, over 20, I can say that when you choose to turn down the plate and you abide in the presence of the Lord, it's actually pleasurable. And you actually come to terms with the statement that Jesus made, my meat is to do the will of my Father. And then all of a sudden that heavenly reality becomes a reality to you, but that will not be a reality to you unless you're feasting on the Word. And so therefore you treat fasting in and of itself as the test because it's hard, but you've made it harder than the way God even intended it in the first place because you're not abiding with Him. Does this make sense? And so I'm certain you guys are following me. It's funny because even with fasting and this particular fast that I'm calling us to, this bridegroom fast, it's actually was precursed, if you will, by like the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, right? It was a time of fasting for intimacy before the Lord, recognizing Israel's great need for God. But if you read where it actually dialogues about Yom Kippur over in Leviticus, it actually continues to match it up with resting. And some of us, again, when we're fasting, we try again to do something that's extravagant. And if we're trying to do something extravagant or extra apart from preparation, we do it poorly, okay? So let me bring it back to the natural because the Lord gives me a lot of natural examples to understand spiritual things, okay? I know I got a couple brothers in the room that live in the gym, all right? I used to live in the gym. I haven't gotten back into the gym since COVID, but before COVID I was living in the gym too, but I got a lot of stuff at home that I can work out with. And if you exercise and you lift too much weight in a season when you have not been lifting, what's going to happen? Injury. Hands down. Okay? And the thing is, if we try to do or lift major weights when it comes out to fasting or our prayer lifestyle, we can honestly injure ourselves. Because sometimes I've heard people even use like 40-day fast flippantly, right? So here, Bible trivia, who did 40-day fast in the scriptures? There's only two. Right? Or, I think it actually might have been three. I think Elijah did one. I can give any answers. Who are the other two? Jesus and who? Nope. Jesus and Mo. There we go. Moses. All right? I think Elijah might have done one too. I'm thinking. I got to go back and remember. I should have looked that up first, right? That's all right. So I got Google. Y'all look it up. Either way, one of the things that was the context of the 40-day fast that they did was wilderness. One of the most important pieces. If you're going to do that kind of aggressive fast, you need to be in a wilderness. You need to be alone with God. Unless you're going to do all kinds of modifications. Does that make sense? Those things were supernatural. And it's funny because even when I think about those fasts, especially with Moses and his 40-day fast, because he did his fast on Mount Sinai, and while he was away on Mount Sinai, we know, even according to scriptures, that high places was considered neutral ground for heaven and earth. I'm like, man, this brother might have been caught up into something. He was way in the spirit in that place. Who knows? He might have actually been like literally something there with a glorified body and just like sustained in the glory. Because he was in a high place. Even the Garden of Eden was in a high place where it was a neutral space between heaven and earth. And God spoke to him face to face there. How can you speak to the author of life and not be sustained by his words? And so if you want to do something that extravagant, please, if the Lord calls you to something like that, awesome. But make sure you remember the context if you're going to do it well. You have to be face to face before the Lord. Does that make sense? And then not only that, you'll be sustained not only by the beauty and the pleasure of it all, but you'll be sustained by his strength. Amen? those places in about Yom Kippur, I'll give you that. That's Leviticus 23, verse 26 through 32, and Leviticus 16:29. You'll actually see it kind of outlined in there. Yes, Leviticus 23, 26 through 32, and Leviticus 16, verse 29. Okay? Okay. Just give me 1 second, you guys. Just scanning through to make sure there's anything else that the Lord doesn't want me to, or the Lord may want me to highlight. Okay. We're doing really well. Okay. I think I've given you guys just about everything that you need to know, at least for this time. All right, so there's a couple of things that I'm going to remind us, just a couple of things. So I had gotten some questions from my elders and the leaders when I was saying, hey, we're going to do this. And they said, so what should we do, like, in light of our refreshments in the back? What should we do in light of even, like, the women's dinner and the men's breakfast? And I'm going to tell you what we're going to do in light of it. Absolutely nothing. If you're choosing to come out and celebrate with the men or the women at that time, fast another day. We're going to keep it simple. If you're choosing to fast a very specific way and we have snacks in the back, you're like, I'm only going to eat vegetables or nuts. Vegetables and nuts are provided for you back there. We're not changing anything that we're doing. Now, why am I doing this? Because I need a couple other things to be settled in your heart. Because you can still fast even in being in the company of food. Why do I say this? Well, let me tell you this. As we were fasting, I say we've been doing fast lifestyle for a long time, which means my children have not been fasting the way my wife and I have fasted. So what does that mean? Well, somebody got to cook their food while you're fasting. Oh, man. And so that means my wife has been in the kitchen fasting, cooking food. I have been in my kitchen fasting, cooking food. And guess what? The grace of the Lord has been there with us to make sure I'm like, you know what, Lord? I know I'm fasting during this time. I am grateful that I could be so close to a temptation and not put it in my mouth. And then there's other times you're like, I'm so close to temptation, not even think about it while I'm eating. I'm like, oh, good Lord. And then you find again the grace and the mercy of the Lord. Does that make sense? Why do I say that? Because the Lord is a loving Father. And He actually will yield the revelations just because you said yes. Because a lot of times we immediately answer Him with doubt. I can't do this, Lord. Because we're scared of failing. Why are you scared of failing? The Lord's not scared of failing. He still saved your tail. Knowing good and well that after you accepted the Lord, you're going to fail. And you have failed. Need I remind you? Did that change His love for you? Well, you tell me, if all of you guys who are parents in the room, does that change your love for your kids when they fail? Well, in good grief, if the Lord, and you've heard me say this, the Lord called all us out. He said, if you're wicked and you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much Lord, so if He don't call us wicked and we know how to do it right, how much more can He do it right before us? So don't walk in fear here. Just say yes, Lord. And then watch what He does. Watch what He does. You say, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to turn down my plate. Tons of options. And I'm going to remind us, I don't see all of them here. My wife is right here. For some of you guys who don't know, Alan's over here. Miss Lisa's here. Alan Casey are traveling. And I don't see Tina. She's probably, where's Tina? I don't know where Tina is. Well, yeah. Okay. I don't know where Tina is. Tina, I love you. I'll have to point Tina out in the future. Grab any of the elders. Yeah, she comes up to pray at the end. Grab an elder. If you're like, okay, what can I do? If you're not sure what might be appropriate and you might need a little bit of hand-holding, that's awesome. Ask an elder. Ask one of the other pastors. I'll even throw some of my deacons out there. Just ask a few people and say, hey, can you help me with this? And again, don't think that anything small is not good. If you choose to even say, you know what, I'm going to fast just one meal a day. or I'm going to fast one meal 3 days a week. You're still with us in partnership during the time of fasting. Just don't go without food. Because sometimes we just go without food, and we can naturally go without food. How many of us running late to work, skip breakfast, don't eat for a little while, and you keep on going with your day? All of a sudden it's 5 o'clock. You're like, oh, snap, I didn't eat yet. But as soon as you put fasting on there, all of a sudden you wake up, yo, I'm so hungry. Listen, I know all this stuff from experience, and y'all evidently y'all do too. Does that make sense? And so we're all right here. We're good. Just remember that it's more important for us to say yes than to bog ourselves down with the religious thought of our failure. And that's what I'm trying to demystify and remove all of that so that we can all be together as a family saying yes to the Lord. Because I will say this, I think some of the way the Lord has been moving in this place has been because some of your leaders have been fasting and praying regularly. And they are pressing so hard into the things of the Lord. The Lord doesn't move unless there's somebody doing it. There has to be intercessors that invite the presence of the Lord regularly. Now again, going back to my first thought, I'm not interested in leading a bunch of followers. Why can't we all be that kingdom of priests that Jesus spoke of? Why can't we all be the intercessor? And again, I'm not saying be capital I intercessor, where you're like, you know, Simeon and, Anna and Simeon, who labored in prayer waiting for the Lord Jesus to arrive for decades. You know, I'm not saying that we all have to be that, but we all can be very familiar with the voice of our Lord. Amen? Okay. I'm going to stop. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to open the altar for prayer. And I'm opening the altar for prayer of many kinds. And I think what I'm opening up to is actually part of the journey of healing. And I believe that many healings are going to take place during our time of fasting. Some of this stuff is going to happen in your homes. Some of it's going to happen here during our worship time or during prayer. But we're going to take a moment to say, Lord, I need you to break in with light here. Okay? One of the things that I've noticed has actually been, that I thought has been a big concern, has been various different kinds of mental illness that I've been hearing over and over again. And I'm going to throw a lot of stuff in mental illness. Okay, I'm talking about like anxiety, depression, ADD, ADHD, all that stuff that we're like, man, these are the things that are in my heart, my mind, that are hindering my life. And sometimes a lot of this stuff we've just gotten so used to, we don't pray about it. We'll pray about other things before we pray about healing of these things, and these things are actually hindering our lives as well. Bring it all before the Lord, lay it on the altar. Anything that may even be a besetting sin, you're like, you know what? I need freedom from this. Bring it before the Lord. Put it on the altar and say, Lord, I'm contending for this during the season. I'm contending for intimacy with you. I need to know your heart concerning these things that are around about me. Lord, I know that you desire that I be whole. All right? And then contend for it. Amen? So, real quick, you guys all have a really somber look on your face. Okay? So, I just need to get some affirmation. I'm acting like I can see y'all online. But give me some affirmation. Are you guys all here? Yeah, there you go. Daniel's right there. He's like, yo, I'm in. Are you guys in this? Because the thing is, we're fasting 21 days up until the 30th of this month. And for those of you guys who don't know, that day we have 5 Saturdays this month. So that day is a prayer, praise, and worship service. So we're going to celebrate hard at the end of this thing. And then the Sunday following is our anniversary. Okay, 21 days, works out perfectly. I preach today, we start tomorrow. Sorry, no time to even think about, Lord, should I do this? I'm telling you, we start tomorrow. Because if we don't start tomorrow, we don't hit 21 days. All right? So we're in, right? Now, I will say one more thing. This is going to sound horrible because so much of this stuff has been used in a negative sense in light of our society with a bunch of stuff. This is not the context of which I mean it in, but I'm going to say, hey, outside of your family, don't ask, don't tell. What do I mean by that? I don't want us to get into that crazy temptation spot about comparing what we're doing with somebody else. Some of us are going to be more vigorous than others, and we know it. I'm just letting you know, some of us are going to do that, and that's fine. It's good. It's all right. Some of us are more seasoned than others, and we're all in different places with our journeys. All I'm saying is, can we all together say yes, no matter where you are with Jesus? Some of us are going to do a lot, some of us are going to do a little, and some of us will, and the good thing is, regardless of whether or not we do a lot or a little, all of us will have testimony. All of us will. Amen? And we are not going to make the small seem insignificant with others or anything like that. We're not going to give room for it, so therefore we're just not going to talk about it. Except within your family, because I think your family is good accountability. Let your family know. Those who are closest to you, let them know what you're planning to do, and then press forward. Okay? If you want, yeah, I mean like biological family, or yes, my wife is up now. Biological, or if you have a few people that are like family to you, some of you guys might say, hey, you know what, my family might be Miss Lisa Fest, and that's okay. Sorry, Miss Lisa. She might be your family. Some of you guys might say, hey, Ron, I think I'm going to lean on you for this, and that's okay. I'll do that. I'll check in with you a little bit. Okay? Are we all good? All right, so I'm going to close this out in prayer. Where is Sarah? Sarah, I'm going to call you up here, too, just in case somebody if someone needs prayer. And then we're going to close this out. And if you want to come up and pray, you may need someone to pray with you. And so if you may need someone to pray with you, come on up. However, at the same time, if you just want to come and seek the Lord on your own, you can do that, too. Sounds good? All right. Jesus, we thank you, O Lord, for all things. We thank you for this time of fasting that you've called us to. And Lord, we thank you for how you're going to answer us. Lord, help us, O God, to rest in you. And help us, O Lord, to trust in you for the increase, O God. We recognize that you have us in a very peculiar season. But we also know that you are with us and we can see you in the midst of it all. And Lord, we ask that you would aid us to glorify you in this season and in the next, and as well to maximize what we can encounter from you in every season of life until we stand before you face to face. Be glorified in all that we say and do. In your holy and mighty name, all God's people said. Amen.